During communion, Tish talked about being still and knowing that He is God. And just as we were singing that song and just waiting in His presence, you know, this time of the year can be a really busy time. There's just so many end of year functions and breakups and winding things up. And if you're anything like me, you've probably got a list of things that you want to achieve and finish before Christmas. But in all of that, let's enjoy this time of the year. What a wonderful time of the year. What a wonderful season where we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's, in all that's happening, let's not be people that are stressed and just wishing it was over. Let's be people that wait on God. Let's be people that have a relationship with Him, that have a devotional time with Him. And in all that is happening, that we see this as a wonderful opportunity to be a witness, to be a light, to see opportunities, to minister into people's lives. Everything will get done. So, Father, we just thank You, Lord, that even this morning that we can come together as a church, worship You, hear from Your Word, to spend time in Your presence. That as our worship ascends up to You, Lord, Your blessing descends down onto us. And, Lord, we just bless You for this time. We bless You as Your Word is open, that You're going to speak into our hearts, that everyone here is here because they want to be here, because they want to grow, because they want to learn. And Holy Spirit, we just pray that You would cause the Word to leap off the page and come alive in our hearts today. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Today I'm going to preach on a subject called family tree. So you need to understand that the only reason you are here today is because you have a family tree. As wonderful or as weird as your family tree may be, that's why you are here today. So we know that God created you, that He formed you and He knew you before you were even in your mother's womb, but it still took your biological parents for you to be here. So you have a natural family tree. And my family tree begins with this next slide. So I'm the good-looking blonde kid on the left, by the way. So my dad was a plumber. And it was great as I grew up to work with him, and he's no longer with us. He's also a man of the Word. Loved to read the Bible and talk about the Word. My mum got married young. She worked in a bank and later on became a school teacher. And my brother Steve on her lap and my sister Liz. And so that's where it all began. So I grew up in Melbourne, and that was in our front yard. And my mum still lives in that house today. Our next slide is our family tree has continued. So it was pretty hard back in those days, as you can tell by the look on our faces. So I met Melissa, and we got married, and we had 5 kids, and there they are. And life was tough. But I think that was at Dreamworld or somewhere. We got that photo done when we were in one of the theme parks. And so it's interesting because the things that were instilled into me as a child, see, I grew up in the AOG church. My parents took me to church every week. And Melissa and I met at Springvale AOG. We got married and we brought our kids up. And at the time of that photo, we were at Tatura AOG, or it's now Generations, and they're all now ACC churches. But we continued on doing what we were brought up doing. And the next slide is the generations just continue. So this was at, this is my mum now, and this was at George's dedication in May, and it was a bit much for George, so he'd gone to bed by that time. And Stella wasn't born, so that's 8 of our 10 grandkids. So the family tree continues. And with your family tree, as I said, as weird or as wonderful as it may be, see, my mum was really into family trees. She's gone overseas to different countries, and she's met her relatives, and she's gone through, what is it, ancestry.com online, and she's done all of that stuff, and she's found out some skeletons, she's found out some scandals, she's found out all these things. She is really into the family tree. Anyone here like that? Two. When I was born, I had three grandparents. My dad's dad had passed away, so I never met him. All I remember of my dad's mum is my auntie looking after her in her old age, and she was senile by that time. My mum, her dad passed away when she was six, so I had a stepdad. So I remember a bit of him and a little bit of my nana. But beyond that, I don't know anyone. And it's funny because sometimes, you know, people talk about their family trees and they're so passionate about it. But probably for a lot of us, if you've never met someone, it doesn't really hold a lot of weight. So as you go back through the line and, you know, if you're really into that, great. But if you haven't met someone and you don't have a relationship with them, it's sort of a different thing. And so as weird or as amazing as your family tree is, this morning I want to talk to you about another family tree. And we are going to look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 to 17. And it's the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, or in other words, Jesus' family tree. Now, let's be really honest right now. How many people have read Matthew chapter 1 and it's your favorite passage? Amelia, is that true? It's interesting, you like it. What about the other 100 of you? I heard recently that a lady, when she read Matthew chapter 1 and the genealogy of Jesus, it really hit home to her that he was a real man with a real family line, and she actually got saved by reading Matthew chapter 1. But for everyone else, I hope you find this exciting today. I hope that as we go through this, it's going to unlock some things that maybe you haven't thought about before. This is part of our working through the harmony of the Gospels, and I need a volunteer. Gary, you pointed to Kylie, you can be my volunteer. Gary, can you run out to the resource area, and on the left in the A4 racks, there's a bunch of harmony of the Gospels. Can you grab one of them and run it into me, please? So we are working through the harmony of the Gospels as we head into next year. And what a great time to start in December when it's all about the birth of Jesus. And Melissa's going to be sharing on Jesus' birth next Sunday as we head closer to Christmas. So I encourage you all to come and be here for that. Now, the harmony of the Gospels is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And we're going to be taking different texts as we work our way through the Bible. But this was emailed out to everybody. It's on our website. Thank you, Gary. And this is a hard copy. So I really encourage you, if you haven't got one of these and you want a hard copy, just go to the Resource Centre and grab one today. So there's about 6 pages in here, and it's all the different aspects of working through Jesus' life. It's the scriptures, it's the references, and we'll be preaching off these. But I encourage you to take it for your own personal study, for your own devotional, and work your way through this as we preach through that this year. So if you want one, it's out in the Resource Centre there today. All right, so turn in your Bibles or it's on the screen. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to read through to verse 17. So this is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Imagine having a dad called Ram. It's like a bulldozer, man. Ram. My dad's Ram. Ram, the father of Aminadab. Aminadab, the father of Nashon. Nashon, the father of Salmon. That sounds a bit fishy to me, that character. Anyway, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. Some interesting characters as we go through this. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Where's Joth? He's out there. He's in the Bible. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Well, Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. Verse 12. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abihud. Abihud, the father of Eliakim. And we reckon some of the kids that are born today have got weird names, hey? Imagine that. My dad's Zerubbabel. Oh. Azar, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Achim. Achim, the father of Eliad. Eliad, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Matan. Matan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Thus, there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile of Babylon, and 14 from the exile of Babylon to the Messiah. And Amelia said, amen, hallelujah. So this is Jesus' family tree. And we're going to look at 5 points on the next slide as we go through this. The first one is, you need to understand that Matthew chapter 1 recaps 2,000 years of history. And it culminates in Jesus being born as the Messiah. The next thing we're going to look at briefly is Jewish culture. That the legal descent is through the father or the male line. Jesus' family tree is interesting just like yours and mine. And it was made up of saints and sinners. And we'll take a quick look later on at Luke chapter 3, which is also a genealogy of Jesus' family tree, but with a twist. And we're going to finish with, we are adopted into a spiritual family tree. So the next slide is the first point we're going to look at, that Matthew recaps 2,000 years of history. So we need to understand that Matthew was a Jew. He's the author of the book. He is a disciple. But he went from being a tax collector, where he collected taxes as a Jew working for the Roman government. So he was despised in what he did. But he went from collecting taxes to becoming a disciple and collecting records of Jesus' life that came together to make this book, the Gospel of Matthew. In this book, he's primarily writing to Jews. And he's telling them that Jesus is the King of the Jews. One of the greatest tragedies about this is that the Jews were looking for the Messiah, and when he came, they didn't recognize him. Even when Jesus was hanging on the cross, they put a sign above him which said, "This is the King of the Jews." And they had it in three different languages. And the Romans that were crucifying him wrote that. And yet the religious leaders of the day still did not believe it. He was hanging on a cross for blasphemy because he was saying that he was the Son of God, he was the Messiah, and yet they did not recognize him or see it. So Matthew is writing to the Jews because he wants to prove a point in Jewish history who Jesus was so that they would see who he was and understand. For us, trying to get through this that Jesus was a Jew is probably a little bit irrelevant. You know, we just see Jesus as our Savior and you know, for all we know, he could have been an Aussie or it sort of doesn't really matter so much to us. But for the Jews, see, the Messiah had to come from the Jews. And Matthew's getting this point across of his genealogy and who he was. Now, there's three sections of that genealogy, and each section had 14 generations. And the number 14 in the Hebrew language, in the Jewish language, spelt in letters is Dawi, which actually translated is David. So right through all these generations, it's amazing the number 14, the meaning of it, and it actually means David. And we can trace Jesus' family tree and history back to the King David. Jesus was often referred to as the Son of David. And he was the man that was born to be king to take on in the line of David. Jesus' earthly name was Jesus, yet we know him as Jesus Christ. Yet Christ was not his surname. Christ was actually his title, which means Messiah. Did you ever think about Jesus, that he existed from the beginning of the world? And yet he wasn't actually called Jesus until he was born as a human baby. You ever thought about that? So from the beginning of time through to his actual birth, he wasn't known as Jesus. That only started when he was born, and you shall name him Jesus. So he was the Son of God. He was always there. What was he called before then? You ever thought about that? And that's a sermon for another day. So if you're wondering what it was, I'm not going to tell you. So Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And Matthew is recapping 2,000 years of history, and he's showing that Jesus has a Jewish, earthly, human family tree. Our next slide. The Jewish culture, the legal descent is through the father and the male's line. So the Jews kept very accurate family tree records. And I heard someone say that that these records were kept in tax offices. And it's interesting that they wanted to know very carefully about their family tree, because if they had a claim to the priesthood or a claim to prince, to be a prince or to royalty, that they had to prove that legally, and that was done through their family trees. One thing about Jesus is that when you read through the Gospels, and Melissa will probably touch on this next week as we're coming to Christmas and Jesus' birth, that we know that Mary conceived Jesus through the Holy Spirit, but she was not married. So Jesus, technically, is conceived out of wedlock. He would have been known as an illegitimate child. And in the Jewish culture, we find that an angel appears to Joseph to basically have to explain what's happened, because he was going to divorce her quietly. He was going to basically finish the relationship, annul the wedding, and move on with his life and not disgrace Mary publicly. If he'd done that, Jesus would have been classed as an illegitimate child. He would have had no earthly father. Therefore, he would have had no family tree in the Jewish culture through the male side. That means Jesus' claim to going back right through to the King of David, back to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, would not have existed. When Joseph decided to say that Jesus is going to be my son and I'm going to marry his mother, he actually gave Jesus a claim to the throne of David. He passed on the legal inheritance to the boy that he did not father. And that is so significant in the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy and scripture. He later on, with Mary, had other sons, and yet he chose to make Jesus his son, even though he technically wasn't his human father, and passed on the inheritance and the claim to the throne of David. Our next slide, Jesus' family tree, saints and sinners. So some of the names in this family tree are very impressive. You've got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon. You've got great men of God, men of faith, patriarchs, kings. Incredible list of ancestors. Yet there was also men that turned the nation away from God. The women included in Jesus' family tree, well, Rahab. Did you realize Rahab was a prostitute? And her heart was there to help the children of Israel and the spies that came into the land. And yet she, being a prostitute, was mentioned in Jesus' family line. Even though it was talking about the males, there was a couple of mention of some women. Ruth was another one. Tamar was mentioned in there. Tamar was known for her seducing. And Bathsheba, where it talks about Uriah's wife, it doesn't actually name her, but Bathsheba, claim to fame, was King David actually saw her on a rooftop, had her and slept with her and had her husband killed. So some, you reckon there's some skeletons in your family tree. But the point about this that I believe is coming out of this is it doesn't matter what you've done, it matters more what you've become. Skeleton in our past. We've all done things that we're ashamed of, and we could be condemned because of that for the rest of our lives. But God is more important about what we are becoming because he takes care of what we have done when we commit our lives to him. Amen? So the family tree of saints and sinners, they were all there in Jesus' family tree. Our next one, Luke chapter 3. And if you want to turn to that in your Bibles, because we won't have it up on the screen, I just want to touch on a couple of things briefly. I thought, that's weird, and I'm in the book of Acts. That doesn't help. Luke wrote that, by the way, too, but that's not what I'm after. Right, Luke chapter 3. So Luke picks up on the genealogy of Jesus Christ in verse 23, and it goes through to the end of the chapter. Now, some of the differences here is that Luke traces the genealogy right back to Adam. Matthew only started at Abraham. Luke goes right back to Adam. So you've got incredible men of God like Adam, Noah, Methuselah, Enoch, these sort of guys that we read about in the book of Genesis. They're all in the family tree in Jesus' family line. Now, it's the same right up from Abraham to David, and then it switches. So if you want to do a little bit of study and homework and you read through that, from David up to Joseph, there's a switch. Now the difference there, and there's a few explanations, but probably the most well-known one, is that Luke is writing as a Gentile. Matthew is writing as a Jew. Matthew is proving a point of the legal family line through the father's side as he's writing this to the Jews. Luke, as a Gentile, is writing this, and he realized that because Joseph wasn't his earthly father, he actually took Mary's line and went back down through the family tree through Mary's line, and that's why it differs from Joseph's line. But the amazing thing is, when you get to David, King David, the line is exactly the same. So Jesus had two family trees through his earthly father and his earthly mother, and they both trace back to David, King David. So it's like Jesus had a double claim to the throne of King David. So when you look at Scripture and you see some things that maybe you think are a contradiction, maybe they got it wrong, why is that different, and you study them, it actually just reinforces the amazing threads and the lines through the Word of God that are in there. So Jesus had a double claim to the throne of David, and it just once again reinforces his position and the importance of his family tree. Okay, our next slide. We are adopted into a spiritual family tree. Did you know that? As a Christian, I don't want you to ever underestimate your family tree. If you're here today and you've given your life to Jesus Christ, then you might be the first Christian in your family, or you might come from a wonderful Christian heritage. But I don't want you to ever underestimate your family tree, as wonderful or as weird as it may be. You know, everything that has happened throughout your history and your family tree has culminated for you right now at this point in time and history. The things that have happened, the opportunities that you've been given, the place where you were born, the things that you've gone through, the things that your parents went through to birth you and to get you to this point here today. Some of that may not be too flash, but I think as parents just do the best that they can with what they have at their disposal and the knowledge at that time. And for you to be here today is just a wonderful opportunity in life. Never despise that. Never look at woe is me or what about the life that I've had. Because if you stay in that and you live in that, as difficult as it may have been, that creates a victim mentality for your life. And you need to break through that and move on from that if that has been your portion. I want you to understand that a godly heritage is an amazing thing. And if you've had, you know, lines of generations of godly people in your family tree that have brought you up and influenced you, that is an incredible blessing. But if you haven't, and you're the first Christian in your Christian line, then you need to understand that by you making that decision is you can change the course of your family tree. What an incredible opportunity that is. I've known people where generation after generation after generation, their family tree was in chaos. It was a mess. They got saved, and then they have turned around their family tree because from then on, they've got married, they're raising their kids, they're going to church, they're following the Lord, and then it flows on from there. So you have the ability, even if you have no godly Christian heritage, to change your family tree for the good. When you get saved, you are adopted into God's family. You become a son or a daughter of the living God. And what happens then is your natural line meets the divine line, and you have a family tree that now God is your father. Isn't that an incredible thought? We are one in Christ. You have brothers and sisters in Christ that everything that Jesus has provided is available to you as an heir to the throne, as a son and a daughter of the living God. And you can begin to live out his purpose on earth and bring change through your life. The last picture that I've got, and actually the band, if you want to come up. So just that last picture, thanks, Kylie. Last week, on the when they'd had that section about the 25 years of ministry, there was a video from a pastor right there called Richard Warner. And Pastor Richard was the pastor of Springvale Christian Community Church, as it was at that time, where Melissa and I met, and we were there. But before Melissa turned up to the youth group to find the man who she loved, before that, I was there, and I was about 18 years of age. And just before that, at 17, even though I had a Christian heritage, I went through some struggles in my teenage years. At the age of 17, I got fair dinkum. All right? So if you want to know what it means to be switched on to God, in Australian it's called being fair dinkum. That's when it all changed for me. And Pastor Richard baptized me in the tank at 18, and just behind my left ear is my dad. He's there. Felicity was telling me after last week's video with that Pastor Richard Warren actually baptized her. The whole family. Yeah. And I know some other people have had connections with, because Pastor Richard is still pastoring the same church which has moved to Keysborough, and it's called Lighthouse, and it's got an incredible school. And I know some of you still had connections. And so Pastor Richard was an incredible influence in my life and our life, and he drove his big Ford at our wedding. So, amazing man. But when you get saved, and when you get baptized, and when your past is washed away, you become that son or that daughter of the living God. And everything that is past is past, as bad or as good as it may be, but then it's about the future. And I just want to encourage you here today. If there's difficulties in your family, if there's difficulties in your past, if there's difficulties in your family tree, then just give all that over to the Lord and allow Him to bring healing and wholeness. Allow Him to work in those situations that perhaps you can't change, but only He can. And I encourage you for the focus to be on the future. You know, it's a bit like a car. When you're in a car, you've got this amazing big windscreen and this tiny little rear vision mirror. It's good to have the rear vision mirror because you can look in there and see what is behind you to remind you of what has happened in the past. But that's only a small section, whereas the windscreen is about looking forward. It's about looking ahead. It's about looking to the future. And if you're here today, and you're born again, you're saved, you're baptized, you know what God has called you to in your life, then that's an incredible privilege and an incredible opportunity. And you can change the coming generations in your family tree. So let's grab hold of that. Let's see how important that is. Let's not waste that time or take for granted that wonderful opportunity that we have. But if you're here today, and as we close, maybe you're a little bit in limbo. Maybe you haven't made that decision. Maybe you haven't fully understood the step that you need to take to change the course of your life and your family tree and the future generations. I'd love to pray with you this morning, introduce you to Jesus Christ so that you can have a relationship with Him that changes not only your eternity, but your family tree for the future. Amen. All right, so let's all stand. And the front is open for prayer. For any other reason you'd like to come, as we sing this last song, please come. Thanks, guys.